Please follow along in your Bible. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said,
"Look, the Lamb of God."
When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked,
"What do you want?"
They said,
"Rabbi, where are you staying?"
Come, he replied,
"and you will see."
So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him,
"We have found the Messiah,"
that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said,
"You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,"
which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him,
"Follow me."
Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him,
"We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there?"
Nathanael asked.
"Come and see,"
said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him,
"Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit."
"How do you know me?"
Nathanael asked. Jesus answered,
"I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you."
Then Nathanael declared,
"Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel."
Jesus said,
"You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that."
He then added,
"Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Stasinos. All right, the title of today's message is Seeing Heaven Open Through Jesus. Our key verse is verse 51. Can we read that together all in one voice? Okay. He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I always knew. See if the kids, are you kids, are you listening? Did you see the key verse? Right? I always knew Jesus was a diligent mathematician. Do you know why? I think if Shepherd Jim could chat online, he would have already answered. Why is Jesus a diligent mathematician? Look at the key verse. Up there, what does the key verse say? Yeah, he then added. I mean, Jesus adds, you know, he subtracts our sin, he multiplies disciples, he divides soul and spirit, he exponentially grows the kingdom of God. I mean, he's a mathematician, pretty sure. So it's important, he then added, it's just, we can never know it all, right? Jesus always seeks to add more, to give us more, to bless us more, to reveal himself more, right? When we reach that place of, wow, I'm there, I made it. He then added, wow, okay, there's more. There's always more for us. We live under an open heaven. Right? Jesus said, you will see heaven open. We're now under the open heaven. The temple curtain was torn in two. We now live under an open heaven in Jesus. Has anybody seen Matrix movies? Raise your hand if you've seen the Matrix movies. Hopefully no, not too many small kids raise their hand. All right, there's a scene in the last one where the main character kind of gets this electrical shock on his eyes and he can't see anymore. But yet somehow his eyes can truly see the real reality behind the sham and evil control of this veiled matrix reality that the movies are about. So the reality is this world we see is actually a temporary world, right? It's going to fall and pass away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There is a greater eternal spiritual reality, considerably different from what we now know and experience. So Jesus is going to invite us today to connect with this eternal reality. He wants to add some more stuff to our lives, to bless us, to help us to see more. Jesus invites heaven's eyes into our earthbound lives. First, Jesus helps us to see the motivations of our heart. All right, so kids, can you look up there and tell me who's in that picture there? Who do you think is in that picture?
Jesus and John.
Jesus, who else is probably there? Which one's John? Timothy, which one's John? Oh, who else is there? Go ahead. Peter, yep, one of those is Peter. Not really. Peter's not there in this picture. Good guess. Who else? Ideas? Who read the passage? Did you guys listen to the passage? Nope. We know for sure who one of them is. Can the rest of the crowd help? Did you guys read the passage this week? That's Andrew, right? That's Andrew. And John is saying, look, the Lamb of God, right? And most scholars think the other one is John, right? So in this first section, this gospel writer, John, narrates this dialogue between John the Baptist and two of his disciples and Jesus, right? So amidst their personal interactions, Jesus is going to help them see the motivations of their heart. Right, seeing the motivations of their heart. So John, we know, was baptizing and preaching and teaching, preparing the way for the Lord. Two of his disciples were with him, and as Jesus was passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Right? Hearing this, the two disciples started to follow Jesus, right? And then they turned, and Jesus asked them, what do you want? What do you want? They said, Rabbi, or teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. They wanted, what did they ultimately want? They wanted more of Jesus, right? And Jesus gladly invited them to become his disciples and to begin to do life together with Jesus. The ministry of John helped people confess sin and to make room for Jesus. John's motivation was to get others to get more of Jesus. John wanted to get others to get more of Jesus. Jesus is the eternal Word of God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus baptizes people with the Holy Spirit. When the time came, John pointed those following him to follow Jesus. From the start, Jesus wanted these two new disciples, these two new followers, to see from the beginning what was the motivation of their own hearts. So he asked them, what do you want? In how they responded in a culturally appropriate way, they wanted Jesus to become their rabbi, their teacher. They wanted more of Jesus to see and directly learn his way of life. So Jesus' question to us is no different. What do you want? Next slide, Judah. What do you want? Is an important one to ask ourselves. We may not really be aware of what is motivating our lives day in and day out. I could ask Josiah and Peter, what do you want most days? What's the driving motivation, or at least for Peter? Go ahead. To get out of school? Okay. How about Christian? What's your motivation? What's your biggest motivation? Candy. How about Timo? What did he say? Learning about God. That's wonderful. Josiah? All right. Any adults want to answer? To get some rest? To get some quiet? Katie? to get a full night's sleep? Kevin? For Katie to get a full night's sleep? What do you want? What do you want? Again, Jesus asks us. We actually need his help to see what's really motivating our hearts and lives and how that may not be the best core motivation of our lives. Does our life reflect a desire for more of Jesus or not? Is in some way in your days in and day out liturgies of life, are you wanting more of Jesus? More of himself, more of his love, more of his joy, more of his peace. Sometimes he wants even to share more of his pain and heartbreak. We don't always want to share that with him, but he does so anyway. Jesus wants to give us more, more of himself. Jesus is standing with an invitation and promise. What is he saying? Come, 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 and you will see. Second, see yourself and others with God's hope and vision. All right, so in this second section, you guys, kids, can you see those pictures there? There's going to be two interactions between Jesus and two brothers. Who are the two brothers? Kids? Simon and Andrew, right? And then two best friends, right? Who are the best friends back there? Doha and Joan? Joan Squared? Who is it? Nathaniel and Philip, right? They were best friends from Bethsaida. How Jesus and being with Jesus is going to invite God's hope and vision into all these four men's lives, right? They're going to see God's hope and vision, and they're going to kind of have God's hope and vision for each other. So we see how that plays out. All right, so in the verses, we see that Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples who had followed Jesus and spent the day with him. All right, the first thing Andrew did was sharing the news of finding the Messiah with his brother. So it would be like Peter finding, you know, Jesus and then running and telling, getting Christian and saying, you know, we have found the next latest version of Roblox. That's not what he would say. We have found Roblox. Yeah, that's what the motivation of the heart is for the kids, I think. So instead, they're spiritually motivated to find Jesus and to bring their friends and their brothers to Jesus, all right? So Andrew ran and got Peter and brought Peter to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Jesus accepted Simon just as he is with all his pebble-like, unstable Peter-ness about him, right? This kind of flaky, in and out, super thinking he's all that, and then falling on his face a couple minutes later, A lot of times we see this kind of Peter. Jesus loved him and accepted him who he was. At the same time, Jesus vocalizes the hope and vision of God for him to grow as a stable, rock-like, spiritual leader. Right? So Peter shared his prayer from his parents to be a rock for the church in his generation. This is what Simon needed, actually. Simon needed to hear this from Jesus. It was like tailor-made for what Peter needed in his heart to hear from Jesus, to kind of stir up his own motivation and to plant God's hope and vision and to get him moving in the kind of direction that God could use. Sometimes God uses family members. Sometimes God uses friends to encourage and sometimes ignite our pursuit of Jesus. Sometimes it's just situations. Sometimes it's a car accident or getting sick. Lots of different things God uses to begin to help us to be more motivated in our pursuit of Jesus. And the other two, the next day, Jesus found Philip and says to him, "Follow me." Philip then, what did he do? He go found his friend. Right? Nathaniel. "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathaniel is pretty skeptical. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? What are you talking about? But Andrew invites him anyway to come and see for himself. "Just come and see, man. Just come and check it out." When Jesus saw Nathaniel approaching, he said, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Wow. This is what Nathanael needed to hear from Jesus to begin to open his heart and motivate his life. It was kind of the key for Nathanael's heart to be clicked on and motivated. Jesus already knew Nathanael and actually said he saw him under the fig tree before Philip even came. Jesus knows where we have been and where we are going. Jesus knows the words people need to hear to have their eyes and their hearts opened. And that's why we need to pray and be in touch with the voice of God in our lives, to be sensitive to what is that word, what is that invitation, what are those things that this person may need to hear that can open their eyes and their heart to be motivated to begin to think about and have Jesus revealed to them. Jesus is aware of all of our sittings and comings and goings. He wants to tell us who we really are, like he did to Nathanael, but only if we are ready to hear it and receive it. In Christ, our deeper self-awareness leads to even greater revelation of God, greater revelation of ourselves, and even how to love others well. Just like Andrew did in getting his brother Philip, or getting his brother Simon, and as Philip did getting his friend Nathanael. So the question for us is, how are you seeing yourself these days? How does Jesus see you? How do you see others? How do you see your church family here and online? Some of us have been in this church 20 or 30 years or more. Some of us have only been here a year or less, officially joining the service, like Peter and Josiah. I believe God's hope and vision comes alive among us when we have it for each other. When we have it for each other. When God helps us to see it and to believe it in the lives of ourselves and each other. Not necessarily when some college students are moved by God to finally show up here at some point, and then somehow God's hope and vision will then come alive for us. I don't think it works that way. I think God's calling us to find and to have God's hope and vision for our lives, for each other, right now, to begin to see that and to believe in that as a church family. I believe life enters our service through our kids because somehow they invite some fresh spirit winds of God's hope and vision into our worship and encounter with God. Only Jesus knows exactly what I need, what you need, what our kids need, what we need as a community. We need Jesus and each other to see, and for many of us to reconsider, to renew, to maybe even recast God's hope and vision for your life. God wants to reveal and tell a new story, an exciting story, a redemptive story through our lives and families. Jesus promises to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending to earth through him. Jesus invites heaven's eyes into our earthbound lives. Third, see for yourself and believe in who Jesus really is. So in this last section, Jesus is revealed to Nathanael, who then identifies Jesus in some very deep and relevant ways to both how he studied the Bible and understood the Old Testament and his own personal context. Then Jesus, as he often does, takes it to another level. He adds something more, connecting his life and ministry to these dreams, these prophetic dreams of Jacob back in the Old Testament, who Jacob was a significant Jewish patriarch and Old Testament figure. No matter how much we know and believe, Jesus is wanting to add more. Jesus seeks to challenge and expand our beliefs and present understandings. Look at verses 49 through 51. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In educational terms, we would say Nathanael had an aha moment. Peter, you ever get a moment like this? An aha moment where all of a sudden you get it. It's like a thumbs up. Yeah, you get what the other person's saying. You get some complicated mathematical or bad joke. You get something that's going on, this aha moment. I sometimes see this in my math students. When they finally get something that has long puzzled them, and their confidence and clarity about the concept is changed, right? They have now clarity and confidence that's stable and that can be built on. Parents see this moment, especially in their young children. I heard Katie and Kevin last week, or maybe it was the week before, said Abby learned an important word that they don't like to hear. It's a two-letter word. Anybody guess? No. 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 No, Daddy. No. No. So she had an aha moment. She knows how to say no. So she's halfway there. Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes, let your no be no." So she's got the other part to still go. At times, Jesus gives us these aha moments in our life. We gain spiritual confidence and clarity in the now, in the present, for today. And yet, Jesus invites us to keep hungering for more on the road ahead. That's what he did for Nathanael. It's interesting, I'll get a little bit nerdy here. Nathanael's progression in believing and finding life in Jesus is interestingly parallel to Jacob's story, right? Back in Genesis 28, and even the vision he saw was Jacob's prophetic vision. Jacob had a dream and saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And this was the vision he saw. And then he heard above the stairway of heaven, God speaking to him, affirming the covenant blessings that were given first to Abraham and then to Isaac. God affirmed these blessings, these covenant blessings would be passed to Jacob. And then he was kind of looking for a wife at that time and made some important vows and commitments. And really, this was an aha moment for Jacob. When he awoke, he was like, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. How could anything ever good come from Nazareth? He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? And what did he call it? Naz got it. Yell it out, sister. Bethel. Bethel, right? Bethel. Steve had it under his mask, too. I saw him. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. That's what Jacob said. So again, Jacob had an aha moment. So fast forwarding about 2,000 years back to Nathanael, Jesus tells Nathanael and even this, you know, small growing band of disciples, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, on Jesus. Jesus promises them to see and know that he is the stairway. He is the one that's making the connection between heaven and earth. And not to spoil the story, but indeed the disciples would see heaven open in the mighty work of God and angels ascending and descending to earth through Jesus' life and ministry in Galilee and throughout the region and in Jerusalem. In this way, they came to believe in Jesus and found life in his name. Likewise, Jesus invites heaven's eyes into our earthbound lives. Jesus wants to reveal himself to us like never before. Jesus wants to give us our own aha moments. Aha! And to expand what we believe and how we then live in Jesus. In conclusion, as a small growing band of disciples here, our church family, how can we help each other? How can we see the motivations of our heart? What are we doing to help each other to pay attention to what's really motivating our lives and our heart? How can we see ourselves in each other with God's hope and vision? How can we see the mighty work of God and believe in Jesus more deeply, more personally, and together, collectively, as a community? So one word came to me as I thought and really prayed for our church family this week, and it's already up there. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Can we read that all together, those of us who are here? And if you're online, let's read it together. Okay? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So again, I'm not talking about meeting together, coming to church meetings only, or just coming here to the worship service. Right, it's about being together and doing life together, like the pictures here. Again, one way we do that is by coming and gathering at our church home here It can happen with your family. Don't give up meeting together as a family unit in Christ and really welcoming the presence and the vision and the words of Jesus into your family. Spend time outside, especially during COVID. It's a little safer place to be. Commune with each other in nature. Go for some walks. If you have to, join a Zoom call. Join, again, we're doing a lot of online stuff. This was the online forum they had on Saturday for some deep one-to-one Bible study forum, content on that. So again, lots of ways for us to do that. And so the key to this verse is really the first part. Let us consider. Right? It's no good to just meet together if you're not taking time to consider, to pray, to intercede. Let us consider how we may spur. It's a pretty strong word, spur. It's like what you do with a horse to get it going faster. How we may spur one another on toward love. Toward love and good deeds. Right, so it does no good to meet together if you're not spending time carrying each other in our hearts and really considering how we may spur one another on. And then as we pray and hold each other in our hearts and we gather together, God releases the words that we need to hear. God releases the words that Matthew needs me to say to him. God releases the words Steve needs to say to his wife. God releases the words James needs to say to mommy. That's the way the Spirit of God works. So let's read our key verse one more time. Okay. He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Heavenly Father, Jesus, please invite heaven's eyes into our earth bound lives, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.